Just beg you, Father, I beseech you for fresh mercy to be faithful. I strip myself of every such confidence. I humble myself afresh under you, Lord. And as you speak through me, you'll grant my tongue to be like the pen of a ready writer. Let your spirit, Lord, and your word flow without hindrance through me. Help me, Lord, to be a pure chalice, Lord, that will speak forth this word without any hindrance from my flesh, from my mind. Lord, help me to be a pure vessel. And this water will go for the river of refreshing life. And it will go, Lord, into the ends of the earth to impart and impact upon the lives of people, causing them not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the same, as your spirit follows every word, causing, Lord, all of us to be edified in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy to be faithful steward, to speak concisely, precisely, without any delay or saying anything that's unnecessary. Lord, so that I'll bring forth out of this word things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, in the name of Jesus. I ask, as I speak, your power and your presence will go forth into the atmosphere to break every yoke, meeting every need, circumstantial, spiritual, and otherwise, causing, as I speak, Lord God, our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and therefore submitted to your will, O God, and also our emotions to be controlled, tempered even more by the precious fruit of your spirit, especially the power of the spirit, or the fruit of love, in the name of Jesus. I also thank you, Lord God, for my fathers. I thank you for their patience and their diligence over me all these years, sowing without any hope of reaping, but finally, Lord, having bring forth, Lord, fruit in this life. I ask, Lord God, and Lord, as I speak now, Lord, let this power, the word go forth with power, to be a river of life, a refreshing unto them in particular, but unto all generally. Lord, as they drink and eat of this vine that they have planted, they will be satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, as I take upon me their mantles now, help me to bring forth this word as they would or they hear personally. Heavenly Father, I thank you because you will not lie to David. You are faithful to your word. We choose to believe and trust that your mercy will abound towards us, your favor will surround us, and your spirit will bring us into a high level of experience in you today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a word of exhortation, and I believe it will cause all of us to take heed. Amen. Amen. The Bible says we take heed unto ourselves and examine ourselves and prove ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4, she says, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. We're talking a bit about doctrine later on. Amen. We're going to start. Let's start with the 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Let's read it. This is the word. This is what we're going to be doing today. Amen. By the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, it says, examine yourselves. In other words, don't just assume. Don't assume. Examine yourselves. Give yourself an examination. Hello, somebody. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Not only do you examine yourself, it says, prove your own selves. In other words, set yourself test. Test yourself. Prove yourself. That's what the moment means. Prove yourselves. Said, know you not the own selves of how Jesus Christ you said, be you are not reprobates. Anyway, but the essence is here that you need to examine yourself and also to prove yourself. And the corollary of this, you know, the opposite thing is that unless you examine yourself, unless you prove yourself to be in the faith, you may have slipped out of the faith that you assume you are in and not even realize it. Amen? The Bible says we give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we let them slip. So it's a possibility. And that's why we have words of exhortation, so that's the one I believe the Lord has given to me today. So we're going to now look at ourselves, examine ourselves in the light of the word, amen? And we see what we're doing, amen? So that we can make, you know, adjustments, because we're in a new day. Amen. We'll get to that in a minute. So we're going to do just that. We're going to examine ourselves and give heed to the things which you have been taught so that we don't let them sleep. We're going to prove and test ourselves. Now, testing, you can do right here. You're not going to go and write an exam anywhere. Just be talking to yourself in your heart. As the Holy Spirit ministers to you, minister to yourself. Amen. So we're going to do that today. Now, First of all, let's set some bases. Amen. Each one of us is a building. Amen. The Bible says, give me 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, verse 9. Thank you. It says, we are all laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Tell your neighbor, you are a building that God is building. You are God's building. Amen. Amen. But he's not building it by, he's not building himself. You are building with God. Amen. Like Pastor said many years ago, I never forgot it. God and Sons Incorporated. Amen. You are building and God is building you. Amen. Amen. So we're all building. So God is building in conjunction with us who are the building. Amen. And the building is in progress. Amen. But for it to be finally commissioned, finally redeemed, habitable, like Pastor Clay was saying so beautifully this morning, the builders must comply with certain building codes. Hello, somebody. You don't just build a building and enter it. You must first of all build according to certain codes, and then those codes will be tested. Amen. Some tests will be performed on the building. Eh? They will check your dimensions. They will check the concrete you're using. At least they ought to. Let me say they should. Amen. And I know sometimes, you know, well, and I just getting better in Jesus' name. Amen. The tensile strength. Forgive me. Brother Chairman, you're here. Okay. Of the concrete that you build with, and your pillars, everything has to be according to these particular specs, depending on the height and the size of the building. Amen. You have to comply. Otherwise, you don't get a permit. Otherwise, you should not be permitted. And a license will not be given. Amen. As in the natural, so is the physical. So, as we're building this spiritual house, we're building, God is building, and we are building. Amen. Individually and collectively, the building has its own, what we call, stress tests. Hello? That you have to pass before the building is deemed habitable by the Spirit. Amen? So we're going to do some stress testing today. Don't worry, it won't stress you. It's a stress test. Okay, don't worry. God will help us. Amen? Now, we're going to begin with a familiar scripture. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Hallelujah, somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we start in verse 10. Very familiar verse. We're not, you know, we've been taught this word, but the Lord showed me one or two things here that I want to bring forth here. Amen. Now, first he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Yeah. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have done what? Laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. The Bible says, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine that's building you up. Amen. We'll get to that in a while. But next verse. Verse 11. For other foundation, let's say it together. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, all these are building materials. And make your choice by what you do or what you don't do. And verse 13 now. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of so what sort it is. We'll stop there for now. Now, several things here. I want to go back to verse 11. And Lord's wedding was when I was preparing, he spoke to, says, other foundation can no man lay. Now, the interpretation of this, when we think of it, is that we think he's talking to the Romans or he's writing to the Romans, which is true. But the Lord says that applies for every, what does it say? No man. If you're a man or woman, says there's no foundation that you can lay that is outside of Christ Jesus that is going to stand the test of this time. Amen. So he's not just speaking to the Corinthians. He's not speaking to Christians alone. He's speaking to all of humanity through Paul. Now, whether they choose to receive it or not is not the issue. But the day will show that there is no other foundation that a man can lay that is outside of Christ Jesus that will stand. It's going to happen. It's what I say. It's happening. It is already happening. This is a word from the Lord to his creation. Amen. Bible says only the foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Having this seal. Give me that. 2 Timothy. Hello, somebody. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Quickly. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. In other words, if the foundation is not of God, it don't stand. And it's not sure. The Lord knoweth that on this, now this is what makes that foundation, that everyone that nameth the name of Christ, that is building that foundation, depart from iniquity. Let me get into that. Let's go on. So, you can by yourself decide to lay another foundation, but if you do so, you're by yourself. Doesn't matter who you are. Now, if you're in Christ, you have an advantage. But even if you're not in Christ, it still applies, because this is an eternal law. God himself instituted. There is no other foundation. Anything you lay without Christ is going to come shattered. It's going to come crashing down in this day. In this day. Now it says, also here it says, the foundation that will stand the test of fire, all the stress tests, must be laid by a wise master builder. In other words, there is no other fact. If you lay a foundation and it does not have the input of a wise master builder under divine authority, that foundation is in vain. Hello, somebody. I just got run out. Even in natural, when you want to build a house, you don't want to call some novice. You call somebody who has built a house that is standing, has built many houses that are standing. You know, you always give yourself, well, Latif, I'm going to lay a foundation. It's big trouble. If Latif doesn't lay the foundation well, Latif will not be there when anything comes crashing down in the rain. Hello, somebody. So I know that, is anybody Latif? Sorry, if any Latif is here. They just kidding. You know? But the essence is this. You need an experienced hand, even a natural, to lay your foundation. You do not trust the future of your house to a novice. Save me spiritually. The wise master builder represents the apostolic ministry anointing. Amen. And the building which all of us are to be built upon is upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Give me Ephesians chapter 2:20. Quickly. Hello, somebody. We're going somewhere with this. Help me, Lord. We're going to Ephesians 2:20. Oh, Shikarabaka. Help me, Lord. And I built on the what? Back up one verse. Let me see. So we get a flow. Okay, it's talking to her. Says she, you're talking to the Gentile. It says, now you are therefore no more stranger for us, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So the household of God is now, next verse, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Yes, it says that the prophetic and apostolic must be incorporated into any spiritual foundation you make. Otherwise, that foundation cannot be said to be sure. Hello, somebody. Now, why is this important? Now, the truth is this, and this is where we're going to start off really, you know, the message really. Many, the overwhelming majority, many in the church today are in error. In this regard, they assume they have laid a solid foundation when they're actually building on sand. Hello, somebody. If what I said is true, if it's the word of God, if it is the word of God, and it is, that we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, then the vast majority of the church is building on sand. And in these perilous times, you see, the building may look good on the outside. But let me tell you, Lord, the foundations have begun to shake. Pastor Dio, yeah, relax. You prophetic do you have the bed. Pastor Dio, amen. But it's right. The foundation is shaken, the universal church. Why? Because it is only the prophetic apostolic ministry anointing that can build a solid foundation for the church, whether individually or corporately, and it is only the apostolic anointing that can establish the foundation that you're building. Romans 11, I think. Let me see. Where is it? Romans 1:11. Thank you. Oh, Sheko Rubaka. Romans 1:11, please. Where? 1:11. Not 11. Your fingers. Let your fingers do the walking. For I long to see you. Why did Paul long to, the Apostle Paul long to see them? Why? That I might impart. Shakara. There must be an impartation into your foundation from the apostolic prophetic anointings. He said, I then may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. In other words, if he doesn't impart, there's no establishment. This is just black and white. Now, establishing what? The present truth. Truth of the gospel, which can only come through the anointing of the apostle and prophet, the prophetic and apostolic preaching. Amen. This is the anointing that is reserved for spiritual fathers. So spiritual fathers must establish your foundation by imparting to you some spiritual gift. And guess what? You know, it's amazing. We sometimes miss this thing. He says, I long to see you. There must be an impartation. And it is close range. Let me not get into that. Okay, let me just leave that alone for now. Now, remember, so this is the grace of impartation to establish you in your foundation, to establish a church, whether individual or church is relevant. There must be an impartation from the apostolic anointing to establish you. Amen? Now, we talk about spiritual fatherhood, and Pastor Clay preached so well again this morning. The essence is that spiritual fatherhood has to do with capacity of the Spirit, has to do with a life that has been, you know, lay down a life that others can follow, copy and follow. Paul said, copy or imitate me as I imitate Christ. Amen. To prophetic destiny. Amen. It involves wisdom. He said that. Wisdom. Very important. Wisdom is the hallmark of the apostolic. Amen. He has integrity. He has consistency. He has endurance. He has signs and wonders on a consistent basis. Paul said, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. That's the consistency. All patience in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Amen. It's not age. It's not size. It's not how much white hair you have. I have white hair. I'm not a father. Amen. That's not what qualifies you. Now you may have white hair and be a father, but that's not the qualification. Nothing external. It's how big you are on the inside. And whether you see God face to face. Whether God calls you up hither like Moses. That's fatherhood. That's fatherhood. And then you know, you can label yourself an apostle, but your card doesn't make you a father. And the reason why the whole church is laboring under this delusion is because there are not many fathers in the church. There are not many apostles and prophets. There's a dearth of apostles and prophets in the church, and a dearth of true apostles. Now, there's false apostles. Those who say they are but are not. They are false apostles. Amen. Many of them, as a matter of fact. So there's a dearth of true apostolic prophetic teaching and preaching, so that the truth of the matter is, if you just examine it, because there are this dearth, you know that most people say they have a rock solid foundation. My foundation is solid. Built on the rock. Really? Without apostolic prophetic input? Without submission to set spiritual fathers, without obeying their precepts, without seeing them and following after them, without having something spiritually imparted to you by them. You're not built on the rock, room. I'm not saying that. Oh, let me put this. I won't say any absolutes. You may not be built on the rock. Amen. So, and there's a problem. Now, when I was reading this, God just flashed this through my mind. I just went to this particular scripture. It flashed it to my mind. And somehow the Lord helped me to go to it. We're going to go there now. Amos. Thank you, Jesus. Amos chapter 8. Hello, somebody. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amos chapter 8. Familiar verse in this house. You've been in this house for a long time. You probably have come across this. Amen. And we read from verse 11. Amos 8:11. Thank you. Behold, in other words, it's not something that, you know, you see. You got to behold it by revelation. My pastor was saying this morning. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, And I now, says Brother Wigger, that I will send a famine in the land. And it will not be, listen, I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of physical bread, or a thirst for physical water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Look what the result of that famine is. And it shall wander from sea to sea. Can you see? It's happening. Going to and fro. Pastor, what was saying this morning? That's why I said you preach. They were just going from one camp to another place. Hey, I'm looking for my miracle. No, your miracle is not here. It's over there. Ah, miracle one, man. Hey, go to each other. Hey, come on. Say, they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north to the east. This one made me laugh when Jesus said, see, they didn't go from north to south, which is normal progression. They went from north to east. Oh, they just scattered all over the place. Just going all over. You know, when you say north, you say south. Like, why north to east? Just going. Confusion. Thank you, Pastor J. And shall run to and fro. Now, check this out. To seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Hello, somebody. They're looking for the word of the Lord, but they don't find it. Why? Because the real word is scarce. It is a time of famine. Because there's a dearth of true apostles and true prophets in the land. Now, where I'm going with this. So, he says, there's a famine of the words of the Lord. What word? Not just any word. What word? Acts chapter 20, 31. It's not just any kind of word, though. The day for any kind of word is gone. That's what most people are doing. This is the word of the Lord that I'm looking for. Oh, please, give me Acts 20. 31. Acts 20, 31, please. 32, 32, okay, 32. All right. Acts 20, let me show that. Are we there? Yes. Thank you, Pastor Brian. And now, brethren, this is the word of the Lord. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. What does that word of his grace do? That word that is able to build you up from foundation to the fullness. And to, not only that, and to give you an inheritance through submission to spiritual fathers among them which are sanctified. So it's not just any word. It's not just any word. What happens in a famine? People get undernourished. Their nourishment, they get kwashioko. Amen? They're not built up. That's what's happening, folks. Because there's a dearth of the word of his grace that is able. And the word is able. It's not the word. It's the fact that their souls love it. There's a dearth of it. That's able to build them up and give an inheritance. That inheritance of spirit without measure. Amen. And like I said before, I think I preached it before by the help of the Holy Spirit. The word has never been preached more than it has been today. It's all over the place. The problem is there's not much building up going on. Hello, someone. Let's go back to Amos chapter 8. Help me, Lord. Verse 12. Amos 8, verse 12. Help me, Lord. Thank you for so much. Amos 8, 12. Yeah, okay, all right. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word, and they shall find it. They shall not find it. Now, go to verse 13. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In that day, what day? The day when they shall seek the word of the Lord that will build them up and give them an inheritance, they shall not find it. Because they do not find it, in that day, the fair virgins and young... Hey, the virgin is fair. Even young men spiritually looking for that word. But he said they will faint for thirst. Huh? Hello, hello, stop a minute. Now, when you think of famine, you think of not thirst, think of hunger. When we say famine, what we usually mean is that there's hunger in the land. Hunger. But this is not a famine of hunger. It's a famine of thirst. What are you saying, Pastor Bujan? I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, the word is both bread and water. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He's the word of God. He says, I am the bread of life. Amen. The Bible talks in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, by the washing of water by the word. The Bible says, the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well springing unto everlasting life. What is the difference? You can survive far longer without bread, physical bread, but you can't survive without water. 80% of our body is water. So what it means is that famine is a famine of the word, of the word concerning how to obtain and to walk in eternal life, the water of life. How to draw water out of the wells of salvation and to put it to use. And it's this same life that God cares and he came to give us, and that more abundantly. The church needs life abundantly. But there's a famine of the word. Because the word is scarce and it has been committed to true apostolic and prophetic fathers. That's why if they don't impart, you may dry up. I mean, no absolutes. No absolutes. And you know what I have to finish this. Help me, Lord. Let's go back to that. I said, now look, this is something that really, you know, I've read this so many times before. I never saw this. Look what it says in verse 14. Amos 8:14. It says, the young fair virgins and young men shall faint for thirst. Now, who are these ones? These fair virgins, these young men that faint. It says, they that swear by the sin of Samaria. And say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the man of Beersheba liveth. Even they shall fall and never rise up again. What are we saying? First of all, let me ask, what was the sin of Samaria? Idolatry. The golden calf. Remember? Jeroboam set up two calves, golden calves, one in Dan, one in Bethel. He said, these are thy gods that brought you out of Egypt, O Israel. And he was, you know, instituting a fast in the 8th month so they won't go and worship the true God in Shiloh. Amen? Not going to go there. First Kings, just check it out in First Kings. But point is that those who are being and who are going to be smitten by this famine of the water, it's not a famine of bread. There's the word is being preached. There's so much word out there. But the water, the word concerning the water of life, Zoe, it's scarce. There's a famine. And people are fainting for thirst. But God is going to turn it around. But see, the point of those who are being and who are being smitten by this final water of life are those who are subject to worshiping the calves of Samaria. The perverted gospel of prosperity. Give me this Amos 14 in Amplified. Let me see what it says. I wrote Amplified here. Help me, Lord. Shakarakubaka sakaka. Those who swear by Ashima or the sin of Samaria and say, by the life of your God, the golden calf, O Dan. And those who swear by the life of the way of idolatrous Beersheba. That's what I want to say. Bible says covetousness is idolatry. So he's talking about those who are walking in that idolatry, that prosperity, that heinous, what do you call it? Stronghold of prosperity, a crown without a cross. The perverted gospel that said great gain is godliness. All those ones, they're going to be the ones that are going to thirst at this time. Amen. That's it. Hear the word of the Lord. The Bible says the calf of Samaria hath cast thee off. And the calf of Samaria in this day shall be broken into pieces. It's going to be shattered. God is going to remove that from the church now. Amen. He's preparing the answer already. Hello, answer. All right, let's go back to the message. I just wanted to put that in there. God was just sharing that, and I thought, this is amazing. Now, for those who are laboring, therefore, laboring that their Christian foundations are solid, built on the rock. We said that we've seen that it's not so unless you have the input of prophetic fathers and apostolic fathers laying your foundation. Amen? So it's not what you say is what's going on in particular. What's going on actually in your experience. Another delusion that they have, like we read, you know, in that scripture, was that many people assume because they are born again, because they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, they're praying in tongues, speaking in tongues, all that stuff. They just assume that the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, is all the foundation of their lives. They just assume it. Hello, somebody. There's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. It's right. We see, all that is foundational, which even though it's good and it's right, like Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says, you know, we lay the foundation, not laying again the foundation of baptism of, laying our hands on of hands, all these things, speaking in tongues. Let me tell you something. If the Lord does not allow the prophetic and apostolic to move and to impart to those foundational principles you have, you will not be allowed to go to perfection. And that's what the problem is. The teaching of foundations are okay. The foundational teachers are okay. But there must be an impartation from the apostolic and prophetic to make it sure. Now, says the chief Christ is the chief cornerstone of their foundation. But what does the scripture say? Give me 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Oh, yeah, verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Heaven, Lord. Says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer a spiritual sacrifice. Notice, everything is spiritual. We're not talking physically here today. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Next verse, verse 6. Wherefore also it is obtained in scripture, behold, I lay where? In Zion. A chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Your foundation will be sure. And the building will be sure. Next verse. Unto you therefore which believe is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is made the head of the corner. Next verse. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble and work, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. The stone, that chief cornerstone, is not in the main church. It is in Zion. It says, behold, I lay in Zion. And it says, a sure stone. And it, pressure. Thank you. He says, he that believeth shall not make haste. No, you need to pause and watch and take your time when you're approaching that story. It's not something you just rush into. Because it's a revelation. It is hidden in Zion. Not from, but for you. But you got to chill. And you have to submit. To those whom are in Zion, to whom that revelation, the prophetic, has been committed to. That revelation is found only in Zion, where the principles of the Christ life are being taught. Only that cornerstone can make the foundation we lay sure. And it's not common knowledge. People are rushing up and down, assuming that there's foundation. Hello, folks. So, I'm sure we're getting this now. So, as a saint, let me just cut this up before we go on. As a saint, to the degree that you are not submitted to and obeying the instruction of divinely set, not self-set apostles and prophets. You know, there are different levels of, some of them, the apostleship is inside a little card. But the apostleship that God sends from heaven is made manifest in their lives. Bible talks about, says, I bear with me the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let no man trouble me. They've been through and they've come back out. I said last week, I don't know where I said it was last week or Wednesday, I said, Apostle Paul, with all that he went through in Hebrews chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he said it was a light affliction for the glory that's coming, in comparison to the glory that's coming. That's apostle. That's an apostolos. Amen. Are we getting something? Everybody's quiet today. I don't know if I'm making sense. Praise the Lord, though. Amen. The Lord grant mercy. So we see, so it's a degree. Now, I said there's no absolute in God, so I'm not going to make absolute statements. To the degree you are not submitted and obeying the instruction of divinely set spiritual fathers who are teaching and preaching, and not only teaching and preaching, but walking in and manifesting in their lives the revelation is the same thing as stone, amen, of how Christ lived and walked on the earth with a view to bring the saints to perfection and fullness. To the degree that you are not submitted to them, it is to that degree you and I will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Will not be building a sure foundation with the Lord Jesus as a chief cornerstone. Stop. That's okay. Now, question is, why is all this important? Back to 1 Corinthians. This time, give me chapter 3, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, have mercy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest. In other words, there's a time of showing coming. And it's not coming, it's here. Everybody in the church, universal church, personal church, individually, the time has come. The day has arrived. He says, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall test or try every man's work of what sort is it. So, what day? The day of revelation. The day of the showing of the building that every Christian, every man, every local body, every city, every state, every national church, and in particular the universal church, that day has come. And guess what, folks? If you've been listening to the news, or you've been, no, you don't have to listen to the news. It will come and meet you wherever you are. You've been hearing some terrible things from the churches. Like God wrote to the seven churches of Asia, got their report. Some churches have gotten their report, and it has not been encouraging at all. But we know that God is in control. God is already preparing the answer. Amen? But the lesson is that not only will they reveal the foundation, but it's also going to reveal the superstructure, the building itself, what appears on the surface to others. So, as the apostle said at the beginning, which we said, we must take heed as we build, how we build our habitation to the Lord. Now, how do we build? Well, before we get to that, let's go to a very familiar scripture. Pastor David, what do you preach at that? We'll look at it and see what God shows us in this. Very familiar scripture. There are two of them. I'm going to be flitting from one to the other as the Lord helps me. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 24. Verse 7, verse 24. Right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he said these things. Right after the Beatitudes. About the end of that teaching, actually. Yeah. Yeah, the last part of the teaching. So he has spoken all those, and they now give this. It says, verse 24. And the corollary is in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49. We'll go there in a minute. But let me read this verse. Verse 24, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. Notice his wisdom again. Which built his house upon a rock. That rock is not talking about, you know, what we will blast with dynamite. You would blast the same rock, but it's not dynamite you use. You do something else. But the essence is talking about the rock of race. And upon this rock will I build my church. The rock of the ratio of who he is, and the gates of hell will not prevail. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the physical rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, this is a coronet. And everyone that heareth these things of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came. Same testing, same stress test. Nobody's exempt. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and the beat upon the house, and it fell. And not even fall, it was a great fall too. In these five verses, the Lord Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone, gives us prophetic understanding of how to build from the foundation all the way up. Amen. A house that is going to stand the test of time. So let's start with the foundation. Now keep, I don't know how you can do it, but just keep Luke 6, 46 on the radar for a while. Let's start with the foundation. Notice first of all that both the foundation and the building are built by hearing and doing. Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. You have to practice the word. James says that, you know, we should be hearers, not be hearers only, but doers of the word. So we don't deceive ourselves. Many are deceived because when they say, when they heard the word, they assume automatically they're doing it. But it's not so. You can hear and not do. It's a choice. And not just any word of God, but the word of life, the word that will set your foundation and your building sure, that is spoken by the chief cornerstone through the apostles and prophets. Amen. And lived out by apostolic fathers and teachers. Amen. So you can see the building they built, and you can follow and walk after. Amen. But most of the boys, sadly to say, most of us are hearers. Hello, somebody. Pastor Clay was preaching that on last Sunday. When I was saying, oh, that's Pastor Lionel was saying, said, what, I think it was Pastor Clay was talking about, how do you do what you do? Are you complying with all the instructions, or you're doing the one that's convenient for you? And he mentioned one particular thing. He said, glory scripture. I said, yay. Everybody's looking at me funny. Don't we know glory scripture? Everybody's looking. You don't know glory scripture? Ha. Huh. There's glory scripture. You need to meditate on the glory scripture one every day. And don't put your hand up if you are doing it. The looks on your faces have told me the story. The full story is evident on your faces. Anyway, we repent today and begin to do meditation and glory scripture. You know, but what I'm saying is that we heard the word, we hear, we don't do. We just receive because we have heard and we are doing. And okay, I know that. Hallelujah. The word of God says, it says, but what are you doing what it says? Amen. So, this is it. So, many are called, God says, many are called, but few are chosen, and even few are faithful, because we don't do the word. Amen. Or let me put this, we don't do it to the degree that we ought to. We do some, not that we're not disobedient. But you see, there's a reason why the apostle and the prophet say you do it this way. And you do all this this way. You don't decide that, okay, that's what's allowing the foundation to shake. And the building not to stand sure. Because there are gaps in the structure, the foundation and the superstructure. Because what we were supposed to have done to fill the gaps were not done. We heard, but we didn't obey. Hello? If you can't say, in Jesus' name, say, oh me. Or oh my, whatever. Now, give me Luke chapter 6, verse 47. We getting something out of this? Luke 6, 47. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Luke 6, 47. Says, I'll show you like the next verse. I want to see something here. Talking about the foundation. He's like a man, the person that hears and does, he's like a man that built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. So, in order to lay the foundation that will stand, in order to lay the foundation upon the rock of revelation, in order to lay the foundation upon the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, you must dig deep. 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 I remember when I was in New York, way back. 1983, 84, something like that. I was privileged to, one of my friends was living downtown. And he was living in a newly constructed skyscraper. Something like 100 stories, something like that. Anyway, he was living there. So I used to go there, and it was an area where there was a lot of construction going on. And I don't even have anything called pile driver. A pile driver is something that takes massive beams, metal, and it knocks it into rock in the ground. It's a massive project. And the thing is that it takes a lot of force to get a beam of, I know what I'm talking about. They knock that thing into there. You'll be hearing the thing from so far away. You'll be doing boom, boom. And they're laying the foundation. The house hasn't even started yet. They're spending so much on the foundation. They're digging. The thing must go down into the rock. So that the house can stand. That's digging deep. Don't lay a foundation on yourself. Just build, you must put the foundation on a solid footing. You must dig deep. And the Bible says, now, how do you dig deep? That's a quick question. It's a very noisy process. That's where I was going. The Bible says in Psalms 42 verse 7, it says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waters. But what does that mean? Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. Pastor taught this several many years ago. What he says is that in order to dig deep, you must pray deep. You got to have deep intercession in the spirit, travail, backed by the life and the power of God. Amen. And guess what? You're not the only one that's going to be doing it. Your father must be doing it for you. Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail again, till Christ be formed in, that's your foundation. That's why he must impart unto you something spiritual. Until Christ be formed. He said, built in you. He said, be formed. So the formation of the beginnings of Christ in you is by the travail of spiritual fathers. That's why if you're not under them, their travail cannot avail on your behalf. You must submit to them. You must submit to the power of God that is being used to build you up. That will be used to build you up. So the father's travail, you too must travail. Because he said, let a man take heed how he builds. You too must provide building material. Hello, somebody. So the father travails, sets you up, forms Christ, forms your foundation for you, forms you in Christ, and then you too add your, and then on a daily basis that you pray, you know, you build yourself up. He also builds you up. There's a conjunction of effort. Both the Father, he has a covering over you, opens the heavens for you, he prays for you, he ministers spiritual substance to you, and you so pray, the heavens are open, your prayer. Your prayers too are available to build you up. But what I'm trying to say says deep call of you at the noise. It's not the noise, but you will travail. You lay the foundation upon a rock. I can't get into all this now. Let me just go continue. It says, you lay the foundation upon a rock by digging deep into rock in prayer. Travail in prayer, folks. The Bible says, and I love that phrase. It says that, you know, that the kingdom of God is sought by the most intense and ardent zeal. Intense exertion. That's the travail. That's the digging deep. That's why, and you know, and that's what we used to always do. I feel kick everything out, bass, you know. It's a beginning. When you're still very young and you're straining against opposition, you will use strength. But as you clean out the opposition, let me just pray like mommy does. When she does or pastor does, she passes, and my words are passed. When he does, I will just start multi breasts, shishi. My mom say, well, try again. So when you get the sin nature out, the need for exertion, everything is translated to pure power. You're not using the power to clean out again. The reason why you're travailing and making noise is that water of life that is being used to cleanse you out first. So you can be a pure chalice, a pure vessel, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto the good work. What good work? The good work of the kingdom. But once that is achieved, prayer is a delight. Prayer is a delight, you know. But you see, God is having to say this now. Help me, Lord. Look, folks, Pastor said this thing before, so I'm just repeating what he said. He said, we need to pray with sufficient force. Because you see, many people think they're praying and they're casting out all those things in imaginations, what have you. But because they don't pray with sufficient force, the water doesn't flow far up. You're trying to get the water from here to here and in your physical body. And you're doing tuke, tuke, tuke. And each tuke goes down. I'm trying to be graphic. Plus, it's intense exertion. That's why it's called travail. When a woman is giving birth, she's not relaxed. She's in intense travail. Ask anyone that's giving birth. It's not a time for relaxing and putting your head up and reading newspaper. Something is coming forth. Sufficient force. So that's what pulled down the strongholds. Casting down imaginations. Every high thing. That's what takes care of the junk inside the mind, the will, emotions, and the physical body so you can have a pure building. Amen. Folks, anyway, let's move on. Help me, Lord. So we lay the foundation upon a rock by digging deep in prayer. And then you build the house. How do you build the house? By wisdom. That's the Bible says, by wisdom is a house building. Pastor Quinley was saying this morning, wisdom is the preserve of the apostle, of the apostolic anointing. It's the wisdom, the instructional wisdom, the how of the Bible speaks about the instructional wisdom, the how of how you do the things you must do in order to build your house. Give me Proverbs 24:3, quickly. We're talking about laid upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet. Through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding. Understanding of what? Understanding speaks of the prophetic. Understanding, the Bible says, the sons of Issachar were men that had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. So it's that the apostolic, the prophetic, and then the apostle together build the house. Amen? Amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, I as a wise master builder have laid the foundation. So again, it's a combination of the apostolic and prophetic revelation. When heard, when practiced, when done over time, it builds a house. And then the testing comes. Hallelujah. Getting back to Matthew now. Now, Papa Rao preached this many years ago, and I never forgot it. The words of a father. You never forget. Words of an apostle and prophet. He said, let's go back here. We read it just now, so it doesn't matter. Verse 25. He says, the floods come to test your foundations. The rains come to test your covering. The wind comes to test your relationships, horizontal relationships in the body. Three tests. Rain, flood, wind. Perfect testing. Before that house is going to be habited, it must stand. When it passes these stress tests, then the house will stand. And the day will reveal it as a house that will stand any test of storm. Hello, somebody. And guess what? It's the Lord that's allowing the testing. He said, I will shake all nations. So in order to this, there's also an earthquake going on. You didn't get that. He said, I will shake all nations. And the desire of all nations shall come. He said, I will shake all nations, the heavens and the earth also. He said, only the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's why these tests are coming. That's why this day has come to test what we have built. Hello, somebody. So God is allowing the whole earth and all this. That's why I said other foundation can no man lay, save that which is laid is Christ. So it's not just the church that's shaking. The whole world is shaking. All the nations of the earth are in travail. Not just the church. So, quite problems, there's no escaping it. Now, each of these three testings means something. I've said it, the flood will come, the rains will come, and God was gracious. He showed me, I've never seen this before. And as I'm preaching, I'm also submitting for divine approval by the authority of the house, the Father's house. So the flood, let's start with the foundations. So the flood will test the foundation. What is the flood? Revelations chapter 12, verse 15. Come on. And the serpent, cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. If you read this from the beginning, you find he's talking about the woman, the church. That he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. What is the flood? It's a flood of iniquity poured out from Satan through the mouth. Notice through the mouth. And it's directed primarily at the church, but anything that's in between him and the church will be carried away too. Because it doesn't discriminate. It's a flood. It says, at the woman to be carried away of the flood. The Bible says in Matthew 20, says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That flood is directed at the love of the church. And the love is the foundation. Rooted and grounded in love. Not of course, agape love. Thank you, Pastor Dave. I remember, you know, I watch TV a lot, watch a lot of news. And sometimes when you see these flash floods that happen during the monsoon, I remember I've seen them before. You're just looking at this house, and all of a sudden, the flood is going by. Then you see all of a sudden, the house just begins to do like this, begins to do like this, begins to do like this. And then the whole house, not just the top, but the whole house begins to move. The foundation have gone. The flood has carried it away. And as it's going down the road, you just see everything has begun to crumble. There's no particular one, even in America, this one. The house was intact. You could see the house on the flood, and it was moving down the river as a whole house. And there were people in the house. In America. Only in America. So the flood will come to test our foundations. An unprecedented of the flood of iniquity poured out from Satan. How? Through words. Through words. The water originates, it says, a flood, a water as a flood. What is water? Water represents humanity. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15 talks about the waters that the horse sits upon are the peoples and tribes and tongues, the humanity. What they're saying out of their mouth, God, the devil is harnessing the power. See, because you cannot do anything on earth except you do it through the sons of men. It's a divine principle. So Satan has to harness the power of death that is coming out of the mouths of all of humanity that is not born again. Bible says, of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It doesn't matter what they're saying. They could be talking financial. They could be talking, teaching, doing anything. But what they say is releasing death as water. And so what Satan does, he stores the death. Just like God. You know, God too does the same thing. He learned it from God. God stores the prayers of the saints. And he puts them in vials to be poured out in the earth to bring suddenness to pass. So when he pours out of something happens suddenly. I said, I'm a God that hideth myself. But once he will hide himself until a suddenly time comes. And then, boom, releases all that prayer. And it goes to bring to pass. Same thing Satan is doing here. So he's been harnessing the words of men, unregenerate men, keeping them in store until the time that has come now. And then now, boom, and the flood comes. And it comes to test if your foundation is properly laid in Christ. Folks, only the foundation in Christ. Who is Christ? That says, God is love. Only the foundation laid in Christ will not be carried away by this flood. It's happening already. And we're seeing churches' foundations being uprooted and carried away by iniquity. Churches, individuals who say they are Jews but do lie. Only the foundation laid in Christ will not be overcome. Give me Psalms chapter 8, verse 7. Quickly. Psalms 8, verse 7. We get some of this. Psalms 8, 7. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can the floods drown it. So how do you make sure your building stands in this day? Build your foundation upon law, upon the rock. Love, the revelation of the love of God, perfected in you. Bible says, he that is perfect in love need not to fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Many waters, it doesn't matter how much water of iniquity floods against it, it will stand. Amen. So the flood will come, but because we are unshaken, we are unmoved, because we are rooted and we are grounded in love. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and being rooted and grounded may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the length, the breadth, the depth, and the height, and to know experientially by revelation the love of God that passes all understanding, that you might be filled with the fullness of God, because your foundation will stand and your habitation will stand and the temple of God will be filled by the glory. That's the flood. Let's go on. So this is it. And like I said, there's almost a near total capitulation in the church today of this flood of iniquity. Pastor Colin preached again in the morning, talked about this LGBT movement in America, Ireland, Catholic, the Emerald Isle. No, thank you. No foundation in love. And even the Church of the Lord in America. Thank God some people are responding now. Pastor sent us some lovely, postings in the past week or so. Say people are arising, but why wait until the foundation is destroyed, huh? Before you arise? Do I wait for the flood? Why not build so that when the flood comes, nothing will move? Some people are now saying we're not going to obey. Good. The Southern Baptist Convention. Thank God for the brothers. Thank God for those who understand, who are willing to lay down their lives. And it may come to that. Did I say may? It will come to that. Folks, and if anything can happen in Nigeria, you will not go to sleep anyway, because God will not allow it. We will not allow it here. Well, can you see why I said for the most part the church is deceived, thinking their foundations and their buildings are sure, that they've established sure foundations in Christ, chief cornerstone of their building? When the flood came, bass. Let's move away from the flood. Help me, Lord. Next, the rains. The rains come to test our covering. Thank you, Pastor Dewey. The rains. And the rain descended and beat upon the house, and it felt none. The rains, what are the rains? The rains come to test our covering, just like your umbrella. Hello, somebody. You have an umbrella and there are holes in it. When it rains, who's going to get you're going to get wet because there are holes in the umbrella. Or the umbrella structure will be so when it pours, that thing just collapses on you. Shere. I'm going to make a joke now. It's a joke. In Nigeria, too, one umbrella collapsed recently. When the rain of change came, blah, 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 it's going to collapse. A joke by everybody. The rain is still raining. Father, forgive me. I love them all. It's cool. The umbrella. So I asked God, I said, what is this rain? And he responded to me. And I said, Lord, but I don't understand. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 32, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 32, 1 and 2. What is this rain? Help me, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Skin. Let's read it. We're talking about rain. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth. Heaven is speaking to earth. The words of my mouth. Next verse. My doctrine shall drop as what? My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as showers. All this is rain. What is rain? Rain is doctrine, teaching. Amen. Doctrine, the teaching, and particularly this one is talking about. So if you read the next one, it's talking about the doctrine about the name. Talking about the name. Give me verse 3. Yeah, because that rain, that teaching, that doctrine will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness unto our God. So there's a doctrine. Oh, help me! There's a doctrine, a teaching that is rain. The Bible says, "I will make bright clouds." Clouds of apostolic prophetic fathers. And give rain to everyone grass in the field. So rain is indicative of prophetic apostolic teaching and preaching that prophesies, that preaches and teaches the knowledge of how to establish the name of the Lord in our lives. That's what normal divine rain, that heaven speaks to earth. Amen. But there's a strange kind of rain that is coming upon the earth today. Rain is doctrine or teaching. But the Bible says there is a doctrine of devils. Give me 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly. In other words, there's no contention about it. That in the latter times, what time are we in? The last of times. Some shall depart from the faith. In other words, we're first of all in the faith. But they're going to depart. Why? Because they give heed to seducing spirits and the reign of devils. Doctrine is reign. I just transpose that word. The reign of devils. There's a reign of doctrines of devils upon the church today. Upon the whole earth, really. And it's falling hard, thick, and fast. And it is checking out. Bible talks in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Let me give you one strange doctrine. Doctrine that gain is godliness. It's a stronghold in the church. And I'll give you another stronghold. Heaven is your goal. Not here on earth. Heaven is a gift. And your goal be a gift. Look at his face, not his hand. And be transformed into the same likeness. Not looking at his hand. Not looking at his face. Heaven is not your goal. You will go to heaven if you're born again and keep soul until he comes. But these are doctrines of devils. And they have taken firm root in the church that is not under apostolic prophetic covering. And they have been carried away with these diverse strange, there are others who I don't know all of them because I'm not in the, but these are the ones I that are more than apparent. But under the covering of true spiritual fathers, we are covered from every such rain, every such storm, by the teaching, the good doctrine they give and exemplify and practice. Isaiah 32, verse 2. Isaiah 32, verse 2. And a man shall be a hiding place. Yes, I didn't even see this. From the wind. We'll talk about that now. A covering from the tempest. Rivers of water in dry places shall. But the essence is a covering from the tempest and the rain. It's your covering. Once you're under that covering, and are subject to them. Proverbs 4:1-2. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. That's the doctrine of fathers. So, what we do? We have to identify our fathers, imitate them and practice their teachings and copy their ways. Amen. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. I wrote it in the Amplified. It was very beautiful there. I saw it in the Rhema this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. Hello? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. AMP. Thank you. AMP. Pattern yourselves after me. This is Paul speaking. Paul, the type of the apostolic and prophetic. Amen. Says, pattern yourself after me. Follow my example. It's not only an example you can follow. Thank God for what Pastor Chris said. This one said, identify those who have spoken to you the word of God. Amen. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Don't just go blindly. Amen. Where are they? Is their own covering standing? Is their own foundation shaking, or is it moving, or is it standing sure? Do they have the promises? Bible says, faith, who through faith and patience in, have they inherited? Have they built their own house? Is their house standing in this time of tempest and storm? Then you can follow. Then you can follow. Otherwise, don't go there. Don't go. Don't be running from pillar to post, from north to east. Don't go there. Don't lay your head down. Ah. Imitate this, I imitate Christ. So we identify spiritual father and follow them. We will spend more, said much about that. So the reigns of demonic doctrine have come to test our covering. And folks, let me just tell you the truth. The results, partial results are in. It's not over yet, but there's a leaking, bad leaking in the roof. We need to fix that roof. Amen. Now, then finally, help me Lord. The wind. I love this one. This one, I had no clue about this. I believe this is the Lord, what he told me. The wind comes to test our relationships in the church. You know, it's based, why is relationships important? Why are they important? Because it is on that basis that unity in the church. But since we are joined together by that which every joint supplies, according to measure of effectual working, every part must work effectually. There must be a free flow from you to me, from you to me, from us to the fathers. There must be a constant free flow without any hindrance. But the wind comes to test the vision. The scripture speaks about being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I believe the wind, now I'm familiar with it, but I believe it's within the scripture. I believe the wind represents the wind of attitudes. Attitudes of the heart. And that will put, he beams into your hearts, and the contrary into the word. But Proverbs talks about the prince of the power of the air, says the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, fulfilling desires of flesh and of mind. Look at, give me John chapter 3 verse 6. Help me Lord. John chapter 3 6. Jesus was talking about the wind. He says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit and spirit. Okay. Next verse. Are we following? Next verse, please. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Next verse. Now, this is where we're going. The wind bloweth where it listeth, where it wills. And you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it's coming from. And whither it goes, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What are we saying here? The wind, you don't know where it's coming from. All you do is you feel the effects. Or you see blowing in the treetops. You don't know how it's, we don't know where it's coming from. You just see the effect. That's what an attitude happens. That's what happens when you hear an attitude. All of a sudden, you have been walking, walking. You just pass somebody by and all the bells start going off inside. Why are you feeling like this all of a sudden? Come to Wally. You don't have God there. You just find he's there. Pride. Anger. Offense. Hello? Bitterness. Unforgiveness, stubbornness, okuma mesha. How he got there? But you can feel the effect. Hello, somebody. You can touch the rain. You can touch water, the flood, but you can't touch wind. But it's there. So that we just come and say, one is so, and it just goes and it leaves something inside you. God forbid. And all of a sudden you see Pastor K. Pastor K used to greet before. You just look at him. You know this African magic greeting. And it fly. We have a question about you, but I say, it doesn't touch me. It's you that has a problem. You know what I'm saying? So you don't know where it comes, but it's there. It's there. And you wonder, ah. If you're wise, you wonder. Bible says, if you ask, Bible says, as in water face, answer face, show the heart of man to man. But what with many people do, you just shove it aside. So next time, Pastor K is leading prayer. And he says, everybody pray hard. Pastor K. Hello. It's never happened to anybody in this house. Nobody in this house has ever had that problem. Hello? You've disrupted the unity in the body. And that's how the devil deceives us. Hello, somebody. How do I know this? I've been there. Why am I preaching this message, folks? I've been there through much affliction, much tribulation. We're entering the kingdom. That's why you cannot afford to assume. That's why we said at the beginning, examine yourself, judge yourself, prove yourself. That says if we judge ourselves, we will not be chastened. We will not be judged. And God will not chasten us. Hello? You can see it. You can't see it coming or going, but you can feel the effect. Negative attitudes, pride, stubbornness, rebellion, offense, anger, bitterness, covetousness. And there are also positive ones. There's humility. Let this mind be in you. Humility, forgiveness, obedience, faithfulness, thanksgiving, fruit of the Spirit, the beautiful attitudes. Beatitudes. That's the wind. So the wind comes to test and see, are you in a relationship with this, your oversight that you're talking about so beautifully? What's your relationship? What's your heart relationship say? And it slots something there for you. And it's there, and you don't know it's there until you see the, or until they give you a word. Well, there's nothing there. And you know something about attitudes that you, if you work on it, you'll find the same way it came, in the same way we'll check out. One day you just find out, we are crossing them all. It's a praise Jehovah. The wind has gone. How else? Do you understand what I'm saying? These are three testings. They're coming, they're here, and they're coming thick and fast. Hello, somebody. The Lord spoke to me as I close. Said the reign of doctrines come to build negative strongholds in minds of saints who do not have proper covering. Amen. We're going to pull down these strongholds. Amen. So the flood of iniquity come to create imaginations in our hearts concerning iniquity. So when we now act upon it, it becomes strongholds. This is imagine of homosexuality, for example. LGBT. It's okay. I remember when I was in New York. Foolishness. You know when the devil tries to, you know, people should see through. But see, the Bible says God has blinded their eyes. I wasn't a Christian then. In those days, they were trying to find a gay gene. A gene that was put there by God to make people gay. They tried hard, but their results could not be replicated anywhere else in the world. So they've forgotten that, and they went to the Supreme Court. Because what they're going to say, they're saying that it's a normal thing. It's not normal. God did not put any gay gene in your DNA. And I had proof too. I know I'm saying this, but I had proof too. When I was working, when I was in America, I had a co-worker right there who used to laugh at them when he said, look, I was gay before, I'm married, I have two children now, and I'm not gay again. What happened? He was the proof. Right there in my office. Thank you, Pastor. I tell you, it's a lie. It's a lie from the pits of hell. It's a flood of iniquity that's come to deceive the church. We must not be deceived. We must cast down these iniquitous imaginations. And then the winds come to bring thoughts and attitudes that are contrary to unity and the purpose and knowledge of God in our lives. We've got to bring every such thought and attitude into captivity. Now, so how do we achieve this rebuilding of the foundation? We all know it, most of us in this church, but we just flit through it because really I can't get into this teaching. Because pastor has preached it and I cannot preach it or teach it in anywhere near what he has done. But we'll just hit the points. First of all, you've got to examine yourself in truth. And that's a big statement many times. Because many times we shield our own selves from the truth. Hello? Examine yourself individually. Do a thorough self-examination. Examine your foundation. What do you believe? All these things that we're talking about, are they things that are real to you? Are you building that house and speaking the truth to yourself? Amen. If we will judge ourselves, the Bible says we will not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord so that we will not be condemned with the world. Judge yourself. I've done so recently and I'll continue to do so again. I mean, don't put away your mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But as I say now, they used to say when I was in America, and I think it applies here, say if you don't make mistakes, you won't make anything. God uses your mistakes to elevate you. So don't be afraid of mistakes. Just admit. The problem is, the issue is how speedily do you admit and make corrections. Amen. Bible talks about being quick to repent. Amen. All right. So examine yourself, prove yourself, judge yourself. Then, remember the Bible says, he that thinks he stands, let him take heed that he falls. Next, we submit, this is very important, the principles of the Christ life, as Pastor has taught us and exemplified, and the life that he's living, we copy, we follow, also mommy, we copy her example, we follow after, as closely as possible, leaving 2,000 cubits. Always leave those cubits there. Never get to a point where you're equal or you're the same. Never even begin to think it in your heart. Amen? And as you do that, you also use the seven pillars of wisdom, which we always do it. Okay, put it on the board, let everybody see it, but I don't think I'm going to go into it because we're going to close now. But the essence is, you use all the instruction we've been given. Use the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to perfect the love of God, and use that seven pillars of wisdom to pull down those strongholds, cast down imaginations. You know, you pray in the Spirit with an attitude of humility, an attitude of the fear of the Lord. Amen. You pray two kinds of prayer in the Spirit. Battle prayer, like Pastor says. That's what you use to travail, to pull down strongholds. That's where deep calls unto deep. Amen. You pray with all your heart. Folks, sometimes, you know, let's put our hearts in this thing. There's no other will. There's a time of testing has come. And these are the things that God is going to allow to be tested, because we have all heard it. We're not going to be tested because we're going to be tested not on what we do, or not on what we do, but what we have heard. So if you hear, God forbid, and don't do, the test is going to come in at the level of what you have heard, not what you are accustomed to doing. Am I getting through? So let's come up here. Amen. All right. Then there's communion prayer, where you just speak in tongues, you fellowship with God. You can do that all throughout the day. God, Pastor has taught us so blessed, so beautifully and clearly. Amen. Amen. So this is it. And then we bind the devil. We confess the word, particularly general confessions. We meditate upon the love and glory. Thank you, Jesus. I meditate on the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody else is doing it except me. Okay. All right. All right. Act upon the word, doing the word. You know, that says be doers and not hearers only. Most of the church are hearers. But if you hear and do, then God says you're blessed with your deeds. And then fasting and prayer, leading a fasted life. Amen. This is the way we're going to lay that foundation. How do I know? Because by the grace of God, over the years, that's how I've been doing it. And I may not be there yet. Hello, I'm not there yet. But I know the results are there. I know, without a shadow of a doubt, that there's no other way. And through this prophetic apostolic revelation of the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ that you build upon, that the gates of hell will not prevail against. There's a day of shaking. It's come. But as you build on the rock, as you build upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, using these principles, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, when the rain comes, your covering will stand. When the flood comes, your foundation will stand sure in God. And the wind, it will not affect your inner emotions, your mind, your inner emotions, that you will repel it because you will not allow it to come. And the unity of the body will be maintained. Amen? So what I do, what I'm saying, locate the areas of deficiency. Admit it to yourself. Amen? Use the word, the blood, and the spirit. And there's sometimes, you know, mommy taught us this some time ago, and I think she even repeated it not too long ago to me in particular. But I know there's a way you can use the word of God to engineer change in your particular area. Are you proud? Go and find that word that says, you know, don't be proud. Lucas, Philippians chapter 2. Make yourself of no reputation. Fashion a prayer around Philippians 2. I let this mind that was in Christ be in me also. I humble myself even to the death of the cross. Amen. Use the word. It's the solution is in the word. That's why I say you got to be doers, not hearers only. And the Lord bless you as you do in Jesus' name. Lord, have mercy upon us all. Our foundation will stand sure. Our building will stand the test of rain, of flood, and the wind. We will not fall in this day of abounding iniquity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's speak to the Lord. Hallelujah. Mercy, Lord. It's an exhortation as well as a warning, as well as a word of encouragement, really. We're trusting God. This time of testing. Bible says, let's come to try all them that dwell on the face of the earth. It says, because you have kept the word of his patience, and you have not denied his name, he will also keep you from this hour of temptation that's come to try all the world. Amen. Let's keep him. Let's keep this word. Hallelujah. Let's speak to the Lord and ask for mercy. It's not of man's doing, it's not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God that shows mercy. But we must be willing and we must run with understanding. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I put my hope in your holy word. I put my hope in your holy word. Jesus, Jesus, you're my firm foundation. I know I can stand secure. This has imparted every one of us here today who has heard this word, putting our hope in Christ. The Bible says, and the foundation of the Lord standeth strong. Hallelujah. Let's confess and respond to this word now. Say, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins, and so we claim with the blood in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. Thank you for reminding me that there is no other foundation other than the foundation that we lay in the Lord Jesus Christ that will stand sure in this time of trial and testing. And so I thank you, Lord, because you have shown me that it is important to build both a foundation and a house under the covering of set spiritual fathers, apostles and prophets, so that I will be established upon the revelation knowledge of the Christ life that comes through them, the apostleship, the apostle and the prophet, the fatherhood anointings. I understand that I'm now to take heed unto myself and to the teaching in order to build an habitation of God by the Spirit that will stand the rain which comes to test my covering, the flood that comes to test my foundation, and the wind that comes to test my horizontal relationships in the body of Christ. I understand that all these testings are now here, and so I come to ask for mercy and grace. You will enable me, Lord, to examine myself, not to condemn, but to properly judge and truthfully judge myself, and to submit to and obey the principles of the Christ life as taught and exemplified by the lives of the apostles and prophets, spiritual fathers, and so using the blood, the word, and the spirit to perfect the love of God as my foundation by the seven pillars of wisdom, building a sure foundation and a sure building and habitation of God that will stand the shaking and the forces of iniquity of this hour. I thank you, Lord, because I will not deny your name. By your mercies, I will keep the word of your patience. And so you also will keep me from this hour of temptation that has come to try all them that choose to dwell upon the earth. Thank you, Father, for Jesus is my sure foundation. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Kurubikasa. Kurubiza pakara. Rembele beramakasa ka. Durebe dakara furaisa. Rembele masai. Renze paramo keren sektora. Rembilo sharam boromiaka. Rembele serono maika. Mambele. Turombe kazakakoro. Rambaye parimnado. Rembele manamalu salaga. Hande romo rebiya parbiyan parbiya parbiyano. Eshere manamo. Rembele mesamari. Rembele manu sakatumba. Pirimanamba. Pirimanaye. Pirimanaye. Pirimanoma kazakakoro. Rembele sa. Rembesara makali, Father Lebesakunu, Mendeleya Karasa Badum Bakali, Rambali, Sevenemes Salamo, Rembesakako, Pepa, Pentebene, Haba, Rambele, Zarago Sheke Diano Maka, Rambele, some Palenuka Sakalaya, Rande de Solomon, Karemo Sokoli, Father with a Kaka Sakalovia, in Jesus' name, sit in the same attitude, children, you're blessed, thank you. Put your hand upon your head if you're having a headache. Anywhere where you're having a headache or pain, if you have no pain, just put your hand upon your head. And as we pray, we'll pray for healing and health. Amen. All right. And we also do the same. Thank you. Father, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Children, I did hear you. I say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Okay, I will pray now and then we'll pray in tongues. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the covering of our fathers over this house. We thank you for their prayers that have an open heavens, Lord God, causing, Lord, life to be ministered unto the body. And so, Father, I come as one under authority, having authority in the unity of faith, my brethren, Lord, to come to declare and to decree that because himself, the Word, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, we say sickness and infirmity has no legal right in any of our bodies under the covering of the house in the name of Jesus. And therefore, by the power of the Spirit, we cause that life now, that healing virtue to flow now into every part, every nook and cranny of our individual bodies, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, into our heart, into our lungs, into our liver, into the pancreas, into the circulatory system, the digestive system, the every single part of our body, every cell, every DNA in every cell. We say you function properly, you function and you respond to the parent force of life in the name of Jesus. The Bible says by the stripes of Jesus we are healed, and therefore we say we receive our healing by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection life and power of God. We say we are healed and we live in divine healing and health in the name of Jesus. And so we keep the laws of hygiene, the laws of natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Come on, children. Let's pray in the spirit. Let's pray, children. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's join hands with somebody. Join hands, children. We pray and close. Thank you, Lord. And so under the covering of spiritual fathers of the house, we say, may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. May the Lord God give us peace. God make his head and not tail. Head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. The Lord causes us to prosper as our souls prosper and to be in health and be at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. And we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death. So we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in the land of the living. The Lord satisfies us with long life. And he shows us his salvation, the perfection, and the fullness of Christ in Jesus' name. And so the Lord anoints us and imparts unto us under the covering of our fathers, the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. The grace, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor and say, you build a sure foundation laid in Christ, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.